Oh, hang on.
Stop. Hold it. Cut.
It's the Briz Treadley podcast with your host, Andrew Dimmock.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy from Briz Treadley with Phil Leggett, Voice of Cycling. That's what I call you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we've had a lovely... How far have we ridden this morning?
Well, it's been quite a distance this morning. It took us 2 hours, but it was only 6 kilometres.
Well, 6 kilometres according to your Garmin, but 10 because you had a Garmin incident.
I did have a problem. I forgot to turn it on, then I turned it off. And we'd done 4K before it actually started working. And then Kathy, by then, had never stopped talking. And so it was a whole disaster, really.
But in good news, I totally... What are you going to say?
I was going to say, I was riding alongside Kathy. She was brilliant. She was dancing on those pedals. The cranks were creaking under the pressure. And she's got a brand new bike. She was lovely.
I am lovely.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now is we're going to make you and me become best friends with...
Right. Oh, Anna Mears, yes.
Yes.
Well, I know Anna. She's lovely.
Do you really know her?
I do really know her.
Would she like say hi, Phil?
She would say hi, Phil. Yeah. But
God.
She's not here. Shall I say hi, Phil, to Anna?
Yeah, go on.
Hi, Anna. It's been a long time since Adelaide, but it's lovely to speak to you again. I suppose you know Kathy.
No, not yet.
She hasn't
met me yet. That's why we're going to become best
friends. You've got a real treat in store, Anna. Believe me.
Yeah. All right. So thank you. Thank you, Phil. Voice of Cycling. Is there anything else you say as a sign-off normally?
Only
goodbye.
Oh, no. Is there a suitcase of pain?
Courage. Suitcase of courage.
Call it the push of courage when I get off the bike.
Oh, no. That's the wrong one.
And I've got a new thing for you. Yes. Whenever I fall off, I call it a spontaneous dismount.
I call it trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But if you fall, you mustn't fall off.
Well, I try not to, but that's one of my skills. And I also bruise like a banana.
Right. Black and blue. Black and yellow.
Black and yellow.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Phil Leggett, Voice of Cycling.
Kathy, thank you so
Give
much.
Us a kiss.
Oh, mwah.
You're along for the ride on the Briz Treadley podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 18 for 2017 of the Briz Treadley podcast. My name's Andrew Dimmock, and the good news is there's more of that madness of Kathy Peel talking to Phil Leggett just a little bit later. I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's nothing else that's quite like Kathy Peel doing an interview. We also have later on... a bit more serious, but still, you know, it's all good fun. The Briz Treadley interview with Cameron Wright, Donna Dorr, and Cameron Wright's dad, Craig Wright. Cameron Wright, if you don't know the name, you should know the name by now. He is a world junior cross country champion. He won the race up in Cairns at the recent world championships for cross country and downhill mountain biking, hosted in Cairns back in September while I was working on Cycle Queensland. So I wasn't there, but they went along without me. So I had the opportunity to meet with Cameron and his dad, Craig, and his coach, Donna, and they're fantastic people and such an amazing achievement to have a homegrown world champion. And he's got a massive future ahead of him as well, Cameron Wright, and a really nice young man too. So I really enjoyed that chat, and that's coming up. But first, let's get back and see what Kathy and Phil are up to.
Okay, so we're back take two for the interview because we actually ran a thing to find out what questions people should ask me so I wouldn't appear to be a sociopath, but we've already passed that stage, haven't we?
Oh, I think, well behind us. Yeah.
Because I did actually jump up and down when I met you and said, oh my God, I love you, which was very awkward.
No, it's great.
Okay, so question, do you have any pets?
Not anymore. Used to always have pets. I've got about 600 fish in the ponds outside, but that's it.
You don't name them or anything. What was your favourite pet?
I can't take them for a walk. We used to have a number of dogs and cats, but because I travel so much, we can't leave them at home. I've got wild pets at my house in Africa.
Yes, that's what Kate was saying.
Elephants at the window.
Do they really come to the window?
They really come to the window.
I told you, see?
Hippopotamus, crocodiles. Giraffe, they snappy. Come and say hello.
And yeah, you called it, yeah. Yeah.
Keep it
stretchy.
Snappy.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. All right, and so there was another question too. I asked you that one, which is, do you have a favourite bike? But you're not allowed to answer that because no. I don't think you should.
No.
Do you remember your first bike?
But I like your Bianchi.
It's a beautiful bike, isn't it?
It is lovely, yeah.
Yeah, it's called my best girl.
Yeah.
And
you can fall in love with a bike easy.
All of my bikes have got names. I've got a Rocky Mountain and it's orange and I call it Ben.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit tough. And also there's a thing called the Fantastic Four, which is like a cartoon series. And there's an orange thing that's Rocky, which is an orange Rocky.
Well.
And his name is Ben.
I thought you were interviewing me.
I am. I was just sharing. Okay. We're friends now, remember.
Oh, we are. That's
okay.
True.
And there was another question I had to ask you as well, other than who's your favourite person?
Yeah. Oh, who's my favourite person apart from you?
Yes.
I don't know really. I don't have any favourite people.
Do you go through phases with people?
Yeah, but they usually leave me very early on.
Oh, it's disappointing.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What about, tell me about, like, when you're doing, like, you're doing a trip, like you're doing, you know, like one of the tours, right?
Yeah.
And it's a bit fancy.
Yeah.
Do you secretly hope someone's going to win because you like them more?
No, I like to think they're going to win if they've really worked hard and things haven't gone quite right and they come back and they make big time and they win. That's great.
Yeah.
But I've got no favourites when I commentate.
I love Chris Froome.
Yeah, I know Chris very well because we have the same love of rhinoceros. Seriously. He's brought
is it
up
rhinoceros?
In South Africa.
Is it rhinocerai?
No, it's rhinoceroses.
Yeah.
That's actually very good. I don't know.
See, the
I've never
questions
talked,
that I...
Yeah, that's don't ask any more awkward questions.
I love him though. And I like
Chris is a lovely man.
Because people underestimated him
Jekyll
a few years ago. Do you know? And they said that he wasn't strong enough mentally to come through.
Oh, he's very strong.
He is, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
No, and I think his little boy with EC on the tweet and stuff, love him too.
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
good. I'm glad that he's married and has a small child because otherwise he would have to marry me.
That's true.
And then Anna would get jealous.
Oh, yeah, no, that's most now.
It would end badly.
Yeah, it would. It could only end badly.
Yeah, it often does. What about Sagan?
He's a character. Obviously, he's a character. You can see it. A very nice person. I like him a lot.
And he's young, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is young, yeah. Well, so, I was once.
Well, no, so, like, say, you know, look, for example, I'm not 25, which is surprising.
Yeah, but he's not.
No, well, but they're
he's
quite old,
25.
Aren't they? The cyclists, usually, like the endurance ones.
To really perform at the top end of your career, around 28 to 33 is the best years.
So what about Al Cadell?
Yeah, well, he won late in
he
the
did,
tour,
didn't he?
But he came. He was always threatening to do it, and he started late as a pro road racer.
Yeah.
He was a mountain biker, you see.
Yeah, I like mountain biking.
I do, it's lovely.
Which one's your favourite?
Favourite mountain bike?
No, favourite sort of riding.
I don't know. In South Africa, we have lots of great courses.
Yeah.
And there's a great race called the Cape Epic, which is for two riders on the team. Can't go further than your mate. You've got to finish together all the time. So the weakest link is the speed you do it. But it's the countryside in South Africa, especially in the south, through the garden route is fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've just got to watch out for the cobras. They have these Cape cobras, you know, that they bite you.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Don't you have, like, people that can go ahead of you and stop it?
Well, no, snakes normally disappear when they feel the rumble on the ground. But if they don't, they bite your leg.
You know, it's the mountain bike championships up in Cairns this weekend.
Oh, they've got Taipan up there, you know.
Well, you know who we rode past this morning? And you were, you know, by the stage you were back behind me because, you know, I ditched you at the lights.
You did, yeah. Jumped me.
I did.
You did.
That's who I am. I'm a professional.
I noticed that.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've worked through the anger issues. But but Sharon Heap was out this morning and she's actually like a woman mountain biker.
Oh.
And she's won the world championships for, I think, the over 55s or something. She's awesome.
Wow.
And I was so excited waving to her because I know her.
Yeah.
I nearly fell off my bike, but
you
I
didn't.
Didn't. Yeah, I did. And then I thought, I'll take you back to meet her, but then, you know, we got here and I've got to eat now.
Have you?
Yeah, well, we've ridden
food?
A long way. No, there's orange juice.
Well, I reckon we've done 12 kilometres.
No, we've done 10, 10 and a half.
Oh, only 10. Oh, it feels like 12.
It feels much longer, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. No,
yeah,
it does.
It's been a long morning. All right, well, thank
I'm
you for your time.
Well,
I'm glad I came too.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's press stop. See you, Andrew. I think I've done my homework. I don't. Oh, no, I don't. Hang on. Oh, Jesus. Hang on.
Hold on.
Press the button. What's it doing? Oh, press home to unlock. I've got to unlock.
Got to unlock it again.
This is terrible.
It's very weird, that. Press stop.
All right, now go. Bye.
You're along for the ride on the Briz Treadley podcast.
So that was our regular co-host, Kathy Peel. In conversation with a very gracious Phil Liggett, the voice of cycling. I'm sure Phil has recovered from that by now. That was a little while ago at the Gold Coast Ocean Wave ride. Okay, well, last weekend, the Queensland Mountain Bike Championships, for cross country at least, were held in Mackay. And I'm hopeful that in the next little while we'll get Mike Blewett from Australian Mountain Bike Magazine to come along and give us a wrap-up of what's been going on in the mountain bike world. But our new elite men's champion is Nick Pedler, and our new elite women's champion, Imogen Smith, friend of the podcast. I spoke, though, just recently to Cameron Wright, as I said earlier on in the broadcast, and here's my conversation I had with Donna Dahl, his coach, with Cameron, and with his dad, Craig Wright, over at the family home at Chapel Hill. So hope you enjoy it. This is the Bridge Treadley interview with our new world champion, Cameron Wright. Cameron Wright, you've just become, a month or so ago, the world cross-country junior mountain bike champ. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. Tell me about the lead up to that race and the sort of preparation you put into a race as important as that.
Well, the lead up was pretty strange, actually. Like, a lot of my training sessions didn't feel like I was pushing hard enough, and I didn't feel as comfortable on the bike, especially the week leading into it. That was, 2 weeks out, was probably the hardest one. You know, trying to do my sessions, but still, you know, not feeling too great. And speaking to Donna, like, you know, what's going on? It's world champs. I got to, you know, feel good. And she said, just push through. Don't worry about it. So, like, all right, well, can't really do much about it anyway. And, yeah, so got to trust Donna a lot. And, yeah, it definitely paid off with the week leading into it. Started feeling a bit better, bit of a recovery week. And then, yeah, I don't know what happened on the day. It just went my way, and yeah, I couldn't have got much better. Like, I've never felt so good in a race, so comfortable in a race.
So tell me about the sort of training volume, the sort of stuff you're doing in the lead up to a big race like that. How many hours a week are you training? What sort of sessions are you doing?
Well, probably 10 to 12 hours, and most of it's pretty short. Maximum effort's probably 10 minutes. And that's just a max effort, really, and do maximum of 4 of those in a session, and then max ride time's probably 2-2.5 hours leading into it. But yeah, 2 weeks out, it starts, the rides get a lot shorter, and then the efforts sort of stay the same, and then start getting a bit shorter, sharper efforts in the week leading into it.
And the riding you're doing, is that all on the cross-country bike, or are you on the road bike as well? What sort of, is all the training in the dirt?
Well, majority of it's actually on the road bike. It's 4 out of the 6 rides that I do a week is on the road bike, plus I do 2 sessions in gym every week. So yeah, it's not only about riding the mountain bike and the trails, it's also the other little bits that add up.
And for cross-country mountain bike, I mean, I suppose I'll ask Donna this in a second, but what sort of, you know, mix of aerobic capacity and, if you like, leg strength versus skill is it? You know, you've done some road racing as well. Are the skills vital in cross-country, or is it really about, you know, how strong you are on the day?
Well, anyone can be strong. Anyone can train to get to that point, but you got to have the skills to go with it to get to the top. And, you know, growing up in South Africa, in my backyard, I was building jumps, building little tracks and that, you know, learning skills that some people still don't know how to do. And yeah, moving up from there, and mate lives around the corner, Nick Pedler, who's also in the team, in his backyard we build a pump track. So, you know, doing all those little things, I mean, it keeps your mind off of training as well, which is quite nice. But yeah, it definitely helps growing the skills to get to the top.
You're along for the ride on the Briz Treadley podcast.
So I'm going to bring you in at this point, Donna. What's your role as a coach with an athlete like Cameron, and I suppose all the other athletes you train? What do you do for them, and how do you get them to the state where they can win races or just perform at their best?
So I plan, do a lot of annual planning.
Yep.
So it's, you know, what races do we choose to get Cameron A, selected, and B, in the right, you know, the right physical and mental capacity. You know, he's got to have the right capacity to race at a world championship. So, it, you know, it was definitely 12 months in the planning. You know, we had to get him selected first. Once selected, okay, well, what races are we going to do next? We did actually go and chase some points in South Africa, because there was definitely a clear strategy that we wanted Cameron on the front row of that race. Cam races very well from the front. And he led the race from start to finish, so he had the perfect race. So I do a lot of that planning, as well as their very minute planning in terms of what is he doing today, every day on his push bike, road, mountain bike, also in the gym. So Cam's got a strength and conditioning coach, and I work with that coach to say, this is the phase that we're currently in. What days are we going to go hard and what days are we going to go soft? Mm-hmm. And other things too, like skills, like once a month we'll get the team together and we'll go out and do some training, and we'll incorporate some skills work at a really high end. I mean, I can't teach them much, but I can expose them to the areas that they can get max benefit. We went to Cairns more than the other Australians. Like, we had a couple of we did an initial camp with Cameron and his teammate Megan and my husband Matt. They went to Cairns and really broke the track down and really got into the really nitty gritty of the technicality, line choices, all that sort of stuff. Then they went to a second camp where the MTBA squad came as well. And that was a lot more flowing. Cameron didn't have to learn the track.
Mm.
We did a lot more flow laps. And then by the time we got to the race, the strategy for us was do as little laps as we possibly could to get it so he could be fresh for the day.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, the Europeans had to learn the track in that week. So that was our advantage.
Yeah, what was the Cairns track like for you? And did you think that you had an advantage, or did it suit you against your competitors?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really love that track because I'm a, guess you could say, a punchy rider. I prefer to accelerate rather than keep consistent. And, you know, that used to show in my lap times a while back. My first lap would be obviously my fastest, and then it would just go down pretty dramatically from there. But, yeah, obviously, having all this training with Donna now, I've started to get my lap times more consistent. But yeah, the Cairns course definitely suited me because the climb, you could get it in a consistent pace, but you still had to get those short, sharp kicks to get through the sharper corners and little steep pinches. And then the descent was definitely suited me. I love that descent. And yeah, it's just, I was so comfortable on it, and from doing all the pump track building in my mate's backyard helped me definitely, you know, because there was one long section called Caterpillars, and that was literally just rolling jumps and that, and you knowing how to pump definitely benefited me, like, a lot. Watching the elites, a lot of them, it looked like they didn't know how to pump, so I was like, oh, it's a bit strange. But yeah, it's just gaining time on the descent, which was definitely helpful for the climb because the Europeans can climb.
Did you know much about the other competitors that you'd be racing against?
Not very much. I knew names, didn't know what they looked like. But after the first, on the Wednesday before my race, we did a team relay, and then I knew, you know, who's going to be up the top. And yeah, and then knew the names, knew what they looked like, and went from there. And then come Thursday, most of them were on the front row, so I was like, all right, got to watch out for you.
Do you guys now sort of reset and say, what's our plan for the future? Can I ask, who would like to answer that particular question? What happens next for you guys?
We've had a bit of a break.
Yep.
And I know that people have been working in the background on plans, but yeah, so the UCI calendar has just been issued in the last few days. And we will, yet as a group, sit down and work out what's next. But yes, our goal is to retain the title.
So, Cameron, your was that your first year in junior? So, how old are you, and how long does the category go for? The next category up is under 23.
Yeah.
And so you have another year as a junior?
Yeah, so I've got another year as a junior, and then I move up to under 23. So, the most difficult part as a junior is the first year, because first year is obviously a bit more difficult. You have the 18-year-olds, you know, they're a little bit more developed. And, yeah, so my main goal was to get top 10 at my first Junior Worlds, which obviously went a little bit better than that. And, yeah, but it's been a goal of mine is to get the rainbow stripes. And as a first-year junior, it was extra special, especially on home ground.
You're along for the ride on the Briz Treadley podcast.
Donna, I want to ask you, you've got an athlete who's obviously got tremendous ability and potential. Is it a temptation to sort of look too far into the future? You could sort of say, or you can see Cameron, you know, doing really well into his future, or do you have to sort of really concentrate on what's ahead of you now?
Well, both. You know, if that's what Cameron wants to do in future years to come, then I'll support him 100% as long as he's having fun and he's enjoying it. But yeah, the focus will be to retain that World Championship jersey for next year. So yeah, it's all about that. But Cameron also does need to think about the future, because it's not always about, okay, what's next, what's next. It's like, it's always long-term planning. So yeah.
So I want to bring Craig in as well, because I'm sure he has influence in this matter. And you guys can say who wants to answer this. If you look at the future, obviously you'd have potential to go on and become like a World Cup cross-country racer, but there's lots of people in your position who later on become road riders. You know, I see Jack Haig became a road professional rather than sticking with mountain bike. Obviously, years and years ago, Cadell did the same. Is there thought about what you're going to do down the track?
I think, yeah, ask Cameron first where his heart is, and then maybe I can comment thereafter, but yeah.
Well, currently, it's definitely on the mountain bike. I just prefer a bit more enjoyable, you know, you're not just sitting on a flat, straight road, you know, it's, there's just so much more that goes on the mountain bike that I enjoy. It's just, you know, if you swing a leg over a mountain bike, you know you're going to have fun. Yep. Like, you can go around jumping, whatnot, and a road bike's literally just get on and pedal, and, yeah, there's nothing much to it. I mean, you can get places quicker on the road bike, definitely, but, yeah, mountain bike's the way to go for me for a while.
Yeah, I'll say the same for Cameron, you know, but having said that, with his road training, which he uses to complement his mountain biking, he does exceptionally well on the road. You know, he's in the club race team, and 2 weeks' time he'll do one of the Cura TS road races, which is, you know, with the teams that race full time, and he's really up there in the top end of the thing. So there's no question he's got the ability to compete on the road as well, which is a blessing, I guess, because he uses the road for training, for his mountain biking, and if he can, you know, if he had a focus on road, I'm pretty sure you'll go pretty well. But, yeah, it's important, and we've always had that outlook. It's important you enjoy things. So he enjoys the mountain bike the most, but he also loves racing road, because you can see it in him when he's out there and having a go and attacking, and that he really enjoys that thing of racing. So he's still young, he's only 17, he's got heaps of time, fortunately. So yeah, we'll just see where it goes from here, but definitely the mountain bike for the next while.
And while I'm talking to you, Craig, you've obviously put in a huge amount of time into Cameron's development, but also into mountain biking generally.
Yeah, I guess for me it started some time back, because I think it'll be unfair to say I race competitively. I did compete competitively, on road, and then transitioned over to mountain bike. And then when Cameron and Damon, his older brother, showed a lot of interest in mountain biking, I kind of stopped racing, and I would ride behind them and sort of just give them basics of what to do and how to do. And then all of a sudden there was keen interest, and we had to engage in coaches before we even immigrated here to Australia. But I then found myself, well, while they are out racing at races, let me get involved. So I did commissaring, and I commissaired some World Cups in South Africa, and then came over here and got involved again, because it's just a way of giving back to the sport. You know, if everyone can just do a little bit, which many people do, you know, it goes a long way with the sport. So it's just my way of giving back. I just love it, just passionate about it, you know. If Cam, I don't think he would stop, but if he ever did, I'd carry on in the sport, because it's just, you know, I'm just passionate about it.
Can you describe for me what it is about Cameron's abilities that make him a good racer? Why is he... why did he have the potential to become a world champion, and why were you able to help him become a world champ?
Okay. Cameron's not my first world champion, by the way. So Lisa Matheson won in 2002 and 2003, and I was her coach then. And she ticked a number of boxes, and I've stored that in my mind. Okay, you know, what does a world champion look like? And when I met Cameron... you know, he ticks all the boxes that she did. And, you know, it's a lot of things. You know, it's the mental capacity, it's the physical capacity, it's his support network, all of those things. And Craig and Cam have got this relationship that I've not seen with parents and a child before, and that, you know, ingrained support. And Craig's very good at, okay, well, you know, let's get the best team around Cameron that we possibly can get. So, you know, we've got the best coach, we've got the best strength and conditioning coaches, you know, mental toughness people, like, you know, physios and you know, sponsors especially, like the best sponsors, you know, and it's just all of that together. Plus Cameron's capacity to find his one percenters, very good at doing that, very diligent with his training, and the key is consistency.
You're along for the ride on the Briz Treadley podcast.
So my thanks to Donna Dahl, to Cameron Wright, and to Craig Wright for that conversation, a really interesting interview from my perspective. I hope you enjoyed it as well. That's all we've got on this week's edition of the Briz Treadley podcast. We've knocked over 18 episodes in 2017 so far, and hopefully we'll get another 4 or 5 in before the end of the year. But let me know what you think. Scoop@bridgetreadley.com if you've got ideas for stories you'd like me to have a look at. Feedback@bridgetreadley.com if you just want to send me some encouragement or let me know things I've got wrong. You can interact with us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/bridgetreadley, and we're on Instagram and Twitter as well. Okay, thanks for your company for this episode of the Briz Treadley podcast. We will see you next time. Bye for now.
Now let's press stop. See you, Andrew. I think I've
Can
done my homework. I don't. Oh, no, I don't. Hang on. Oh, Jesus. Hang on.
Marcel Kittle stole my koala.
Oh, hang on. What's... Stop. Hang on. What's...
Stop. Hold it. Cut.